Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They only lost two in a row twice in the regular season. They have yet to lose back-to-back games in this playoff run. The NBA Finals are tied at one game apiece.
Mike Breen on the call last night. Oklahoma City evens up the series. But did you read or hear about how game one on Thursday night was stolen from the Thunder before Tyrese Halliburton made that game-winning shot? I'll explain coming up here in the opening segment. Good morning, everybody. Mandatory minicamp this week. Still no news, no real news on a contract extension for Terry. Ben will join us later on in the show at 12. Lots of what I would refer to as clickbait trade talk for Terry. Have you seen some of the different, you know, Bleacher Report and some of those other sites putting out, oh, here's the possibility. This from Tim Z. My guy Tim Z writes, Kevin, please tell me they're not going to trade Terry McLaurin because they're unwilling to pay him. No, Tim Z, they're not trading Terry McLaurin. Come on, man. Anything's possible. I mean, we don't know this new group very well. We certainly don't know anything about this new group related to how they'll treat veteran players that are due contract extensions. I mean, the first one that was sort of due a contract extension was Sam Cosmi. They took care of him. He's a much younger player. John Allen, they decided to trade. Yes, I would not put John in the same category as Terry McLaurin. We do know from Adam Peters' history in San Francisco that they do wait these things out. These things happen later on in the summer, sometimes even after training camp starts. So there is some knowledge from how it was handled in San Francisco, even though Adam Peters was not the general manager, you know, in San Francisco. But he was a part of a team and learned from a team that may be something that he's carrying into the situation here. So we'll see. I'm not anywhere near different than I was on Friday or Thursday, and that is on June 9th, I have zero reason to be legitimately concerned about Terry McLaurin, whatever the reports are out there, not getting a deal done, playing his final year of his contract without an extension, or being traded. You know, between now and the time he signs a contract extension or the regular season begins, the only report that would matter other than something definitive is if Terry actually requested a trade. That would be a blockbuster. We have not had that as of yet. This from Evan. Kevin, you forgot the 83 skins on the list of teams that are better than Saquon Barkley's 2024 Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, I mean, the 83 skins are such an interesting team. You know, the plus 42 turnover margin, you know, all-time record. Nothing's even close to it. An offense that set the record in 1983 for the most points ever in a season. They were virtually unstoppable in 83 offensively. They lost the Super Bowl, though, and they lost it in resounding fashion. I mean, they got absolutely handled by the LA Raiders. You know, Marcus Allen didn't play in the first game in the regular season against Washington, a game in which Washington won at RFK 37-35, one of the great regular season games in franchise history. Michael Haynes had not been traded for at that point. Michael Haynes is certainly in the conversation of the top three, four, five corners of all time. They had not traded for him, and the Raiders were a different team by the time Washington got to them in the Super Bowl in Tampa, and the game was really not competitive. From rocket screen on, it was a blowout, and they just were the better team. And Washington that year defensively, although they created a lot of takeaways, and they ended up on, again, plus 42. Can you imagine seeing plus 42 at the end of even a 17-game season in terms of turnover margin? Unprecedented. Nobody's ever been close to what Washington's 83 team did. But they weren't good defensively. They got torched defensively. That's why their secondary was called the Pearl Harbor Crew, because they gave up bomb after bomb. Teams scored a lot of points against the 83 Skins. Now, they made up for it by making big plays, and that definitely counts for something. There's no doubt about it. You know, that team went 14-2 during the regular season, had 2 1-point losses. They had a 31-30 opening night loss on Monday Night Football at home against the Cowboys, a game, by the way, that they led big at halftime. And then they had a 48-47 Monday Night Football loss at Lambeau against Lynn Dickey and the Green Bay Packers, where Mark Mosley, by the way, missed a 39-yard field goal at the gun that would have won the game. 50-48. That was the highest scoring Monday night game of all time until that game, I don't know, 6 years ago now, between the Rams and the Chiefs. That ended up, I think, 54-51 on Monday Night Football. So there is that. You know, the team, unstoppable offensively throughout the 83 season, set the scoring record, only had two losses by a combined 2 points. But they got manhandled in the Super Bowl, and they just weren't a consistent, like, slow the other team down defense. They gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points, but they created a lot of turnovers. Yeah, Evan, I think the 83 Skins, for me, on the list of the greatest Skins teams of all time, that's number two for me. 91's one, 83 is two. And it's because, God, they were unstoppable. Theismann was the MVP of the league, throwing to Monk, throwing to Charlie Brown, having the, you know, Riggins set the NFL season mark for 24 rushing touchdowns. No one had ever done that, not Jim Brown, not Walter Payton. The Hogs were dominant. They had guys like Nick Giaquinto coming out of the backfield, Joe Washington, obviously. They were just completely unstoppable. Like, every game was just an up and down the field scoring fest, but they gave up just as much as they got in a lot of those games as well. But I would put the 83 Skins probably ahead of what the 2024 Eagles were, but just barely. It's a tough call, because it's hard to put teams that didn't win at all in front of a team that not only won it all, like Philadelphia did last year, but won it the way they won it, which was with arguably the most dominating defensive performance in Super Bowl history. But for me, it's 91 Skins followed by the 83 Skins. Then we can have a debate, 82, 72, 87, in terms of the next best team. The 91 team, sorry to, you know, Doc and Jake and Riggo and Joe T, because 82 and 83 were awesome. You know, two NFC championship seasons, two Super Bowl trips, and a Lombardi trophy in 82. The 91 team is easily the most complete Redskin team of all time, and it'll go down as one of the top, you know, Super Bowl winning teams, one of the top teams. DVOA, still to this day, ranks the 91 Skins as the greatest team in NFL history. So there you go. All right. I do at some point want to talk about the French Open yesterday. I know tennis talk isn't necessarily a needle mover anywhere in sports talk radio. I did not watch all of it, but I watched enough of it to get a flavor for what turned out to be one of the greatest Grand Slam finals in tennis history. I think we've said that so many times, you know, over the last 15 to 20 years, you know, from, I mean, how many incredible finals did Nadal and Federer and Djokovic and Nadal, and we've just had so many of those over the years in recent years without Americans obviously being involved. But, you know, Alcaraz rallying from two sets down, not only two sets down, three championship championship points in set four down to win was an epic, for sure. They're still talking about it. 5 hours and 29 minutes. I'll start, though, really with last night's NBA Finals Game 2. And I'll tell you why here in a moment. The Thunder, based on further review, as in the two-minute referee report, were completely robbed of Game 1.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So last night you saw what you didn't see in Game 1. You saw the Thunder execute offensively. It wasn't that they turned Indiana over nearly as much as they did in Game 1. Their defense was still at times suffocating. But unlike 25 turnovers in Game 1, the Pacers had 15 last night. Unlike the 14 total steals in Game 1, Oklahoma City did have 10 in Game 2. But points off of turnovers for Oklahoma City was more of that one-to-one advantage. They had 14 points on 15 turnovers. Still not, you know, what their average has been, which is somewhere between a point to a point and a half off of each turnover. Of course, it was dreadful in Game 1. It was 11 points off of 25 turnovers. But they were able to make turnovers and their defense turn into more offense. But I just thought their offense in general, when they had to run half-court offense, was just much better. And clearly, they shot it much better. 49% from the field, 39% from behind the arc. They got to the free throw line and made 29 of 33. I have been saying, going back to this early portion of the second round, that this is the best team. And I think that this team's going to prevail here. Now, Game 3 Wednesday night's going to be awesome to watch, for sure, because it's a huge game. Like, Indiana pretty, I kind of feel like Indiana almost has to get Game 3, or it could be, you know, a shorter series, which is what I predicted. But there are a couple of things from last night's game that really stood out, in addition to Oklahoma City just being calmer, smoother, more patient offensively. I love the way they ran the high screen and roll for SGA much higher up on the floor, closer to half court than, say, the three-point line, in part because once you spread the floor that much and he splits it with the dribble, or he'll get a good screen and go hard around the defender, even on a switch, there's just so much downhill ability. There's so much space to attack. And he made all of the right decisions last night. I know he had 38 in Game 1. And I said after Game 1, I didn't think he played anywhere near his best. You know, it didn't just sort of deal with the game-winning shot or the shot that would have put him up three towards the end that he missed. I just didn't think it was an efficient performance. Last night, he was efficient. He was a great decision maker last night and still got 34 points on far fewer shot attempts. I mean, basically a third less on the shot attempts. He was, I think he had 30 shot attempts in game one, and he was 11 of 21 last night. He got to the free throw line over and over again. He had 8 assists last night as he, basically made the defense collapse around him. And he had 4 steals defensively. Last night was much different, I thought, for Jalen Williams, although I still think he is, I think he is, he's tight. He's trying to force it too much, but he is their second star, if you will, along with Chet Holmgren. He had a terrible game one. He was better last night. Still wasn't great, though. He's got to be better on the road, Jalen Williams does. But what last night was about as much as anything for OKC was 38 points off the bench from Alex Caruso, who got 20, and Hia Terp, Aaron Wiggins, off the bench with 18 in 21 minutes. Wiggins was 5 of 8 from behind the arc. So excited to see Aaron Wiggins all season long. He had a 40-point output this year. He went off in a couple of games off the bench. He did. And it's interesting to watch Oklahoma City because their bench is so deep, but it's not always, you know, the guy you expect it to be. I mean, during this postseason, we've seen the other Jalen Williams. We've seen, obviously, well, Hartenstein wasn't coming off the bench before this series. We've seen Caruso. We've seen Isaiah Joe. We've seen Cason Wallace when he hasn't been in the starting lineup. You know, it can be somebody that didn't even play much in the previous game. Aaron Wiggins has not gotten a whole hell of a lot of run in the postseason. There are a couple of games where he barely even saw the floor. But to be ready like he was for a game two that they had to have, he was a massive difference maker. Came out right from the jump, confident, drove the ball, banked one in, and then was super confident shooting the three. Aaron Wiggins was a terrific player on Maryland's 2020 team, which won the Big Ten regular season title, shared in the Big Ten conference title. Okay. I do remember that. For those of you who will remind me via Twitter, if I just say Maryland won the outright Big Ten title, they didn't. They shared in the Big Ten title in 2020. And then we had COVID shut down everything postseason-wise. Wiggins was a significant part of that 2020 Big Ten title team and would have been a big star moving forward with Anthony Cowan and Jalen Stick-Smith in the tournament. He was coming off the bench for a lot of it as well. He was outstanding. Ended up being a second round pick of OKC in 2021 has played well. I mean, 26 years old. I mean, it's amazing how fast time flies, but he's in his fourth year. He's already gotten a contract extension, and he averaged 12 points off the bench this year. He was crucial last night. And then one final point on the game last night. You just can't, I'm sorry, you can't call Tyrese Haliburton a superstar when there are too many nights like last night where he's invisible for too much of the game. He was invisible at times in game one. We've seen this from Tyrese Haliburton. Yes, he's going to go down for this postseason as having produced one of the all-time clutch postseasons in NBA playoff history. And the game one shot was big. He had 17 last night, but 12 were in the fourth quarter with the game decided, basically. The difference between last night and Thursday night is the lead was consistently 16 to 23, not 10, not 8 to or 6 to 15. You know, they didn't really have a chance. I mean, I wasn't counting them out because you can't count them out now. But Tyrese Halliburton's had too many of these games, too many of them. I mean, you go back through just this postseason, all right? Game three against the Cavs, he had 4 points on just eight shot attempts. In game four against Cleveland, he had just 11 points on 8 shot attempts. He had 8 points on just 7 shot attempts in game five against the Knicks. The other night, he had 14 and 10 and 6, and he played a well-rounded game. And yeah, the defense is focused on him, but that's where you separate, star players from superstar players. you know, guys who are in the top 15 to top 20 from guys who are legitimate top five guys. He's not that. Even with all of the drama in the postseason he's produced at the end of games, you can't go missing as a scorer in the NBA Finals for 40 of the 48 minutes if you're a true superstar. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander may be, you know, a guy that hasn't closed out games consistently in the postseason. That's true. He's missed some big shots towards the end of games. But as, you know, Rick Carlisle said last night, this guy, you just pencil in for the 30-plus. That's what he's going to get because he's a true superstar. You can't stop him from getting what he wants to get. You can stop Tyrese Halliburton. I think he's a really good player. I think he's a star player, and his clutch factor at the end of games. And I think the Athletic poll that came out earlier in the year that where the players voted him the most overrated player in the league, they did, for those of you who didn't know. I think that that's a little bit much because I don't think he's overrated. But to put him, to try to force him into that category of true elite superstar is way premature. And nights like last night are case in point and proof. You just can't be missing as a scorer for basically three quarters of the game if you're a true superstar. And that's what he was. He had 5 points going into the fourth quarter, and they were down, you know, 20 or whatever it was at the end of the third quarter. All right, game three on Wednesday night back in Indianapolis, and that should be a scene, man. It should be an incredible scene. So I mentioned that something came out after the show on Friday that was quite amazing when you consider the ramifications on game one. I'm shocked that this didn't get more attention. I'll explain it when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show. The Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. And by the way, you can watch us on our YouTube channel.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.